This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
I have Kim Dixon with me this morning, and she's certified family peer support, and she mentors families and helps them out with when they have mental health and addiction problems in the family. So welcome, Kim. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Kathy.
It's lovely. So much to share with the world about this project, this program that you're working with. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved and what the impact that this families project is having on our community?
Well, I actually began supporting families affected by mental illness over 20 years ago, and through that process became aware that I was a family member myself. So I have a number of loved ones who have mental illness and substance use and sometimes addictions issues as well. And what providing family support and education does is it heals us as family members, because it's very traumatic for us, and it also educates and empowers us to support our loved one at the same time.
And when people first come to you, love seems to be lacking. It's hard when you're in the grips of all this to feel that love and to feel like you can that you have any choices.
Yeah, because mental illness, we're blindsided by it. It's not something that we think of as a possibility that's going to show up in our family. And when it does, we're often unaware. And when we become aware, we're in shock, we're in crisis, and we're quite traumatized by the experience. And we don't often realize that we would benefit from help or that help is even available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think many people would not even know about all the wonderful things programs that you have. And one is becoming a mental health first aider, actually learning how to speak to and help and understand people with mental health issues.
Mental Health First Aid is actually an international program that is offered, obviously, around the world. Myself and one of my other colleagues do teach the course to individuals in recovery, their family members, and interested community members. And very much like physical first aid, there's sort of a process that we can use that's very simple, but very helpful in supporting someone who may be experiencing a first aid crisis or just experiencing the beginnings of a mental illness.
Hmm. And there's so much we can do to avoid having to burden the medical system and be sitting in emergency rooms and things where these things can't be cleared up in, 2 hours or 5 hours or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we have a challenge. The system does its best, but my experience in 20-plus years is it's often not enough. And as a result, I believe that as individuals and families and communities, we need to build capacity in ourselves to support our families and each other.
Mm-hmm. Kim, can you tell the community a bit about what it looks like when you're kind of on the edge and need some help? What does it look like when mental health issues show up in the family?
Well, from my non-clinical point of view, I always talk about family members knowing when their loved one is struggling and something is happening. I call it when the hair on the back of your head starts tingling. I would ask that family members pay attention to that and seek medical help sooner rather than later. So, for example, if your loved one used to be very outgoing and they start to withdraw and there's no obvious reason for that, that can be a suggestion that a mental illness might be coming their way. Or if their hygiene starts deteriorating for no obvious reason. So it's not like a physical illness from the neck down where a person experiences physical pain or you can see a bruise or where you can see what's happening. This is more of a feeling, an observed behavior of a change of whatever was normal before. There's a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another one of the programs that you're working with is Smart Recovery. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So Smart Recovery is a program was originally developed by and for individuals living in recovery from substance use and or addictions. It has now developed a sort of sister program for family and friends who have a loved one living with addictions and or substance use. So it's a toolbox. It's tools that allow us to change to a more sort of healthy lifestyle. And the curriculum for both the individual in recovery and for the family member is very similar, so that as family members, we can be supportive of our loved one in their choices in moving towards recovery.
Is there any expense to the person to come and join these groups?
Not for the programs that I offer. I mean, I have told you that your tax dollars hard at work. And yes, we're contracted by Northern Health, so all of our programs are provided free of charge, whether that's individual support, group support, or any of our family education programs are all available free of charge.
And there's so many workshops. There's so many fascinating things to learn. Can you tell us a little bit about all the things that go on that people can come to?
I often suggest that people make a personal connection, either through a phone call or an email. I like to get to know a person and just to find out a little bit more about what's going on. And sometimes we have an awful lot to say. It's the first time we've had somebody to talk to and somebody to really hear what's going on for us. So we provide that individual support.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is I do encourage people to check out the family support groups, where they can connect with other family members besides myself. I'm just one person and one point of view, and it's very empowering to connect with other parents and other partners who have the same shared experience. And in those support groups, we use a very safe and effective process that allows us to process the emotions, but to move forward so we don't stay stuck. And then we have workshops, lots of different workshops on lots of different topics. We talked about Smart Recovery that focuses on substance use and addictions, but we also have education programs that look at specific illnesses. So, for example, we might have a workshop that will talk about psychosis and schizophrenia, another workshop that will look at mood disorders, depressive mood disorders, including bipolar. You have a whole range of anxiety spectrum disorders. You couldn't possibly just be anxious. There has to be a number of different anxiety spectrum disorders. And then you have trauma-related disorders. So we have workshops on each of these disorders if people are interested.
Mm-hmm. And over the years, have you seen a change in how we're actually diagnosing and prognosing? Like, is it more of a spectrum for everybody? There's not so much diagnosis going on?
Well, the healthcare system has a diagnostic manual. It's called the DSM-5, which is a fairly recent edition. And so internationally, they've agreed on if these sort of signs and symptoms are there, then they get a particular label, and that helps direct the treatment options. From a family point of view, my observation and experience is all of these illnesses are experienced quite differently for different individuals. So even, for example, a diagnosis of schizophrenia is experienced differently for different individuals. And in fact, schizophrenia, the research is looking at the possibility that it's much like a cancer diagnosis. So you get a diagnosis of cancer, but there's many different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're thinking that with the diagnosis of schizophrenia, that there are probably a number of different kinds underneath that.
Okay. And but there are places to fit in, no matter what the mental illness diagnosis is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And do you see people learning to grow and thrive, although they have mental illness?
Oh, absolutely. It's like any other physical illness. And we call them mental illnesses, but essentially it's a physical, these are physical illnesses of the brain, like we have physical illnesses of any other organ within our body. And we are not those illnesses. That we can have what I call health within illness, and we can even have mental health and still have a mental illness. They're two separate things. So you can have good mental health and still have a mental illness diagnosis. If we get enough support and enough education, absolutely we can be well even with a serious health issue.
And that seems to be the ticket then, the support and the education, because when people are alone in mental illness, there's so much isolation and almost shame and fear and all the things that can go along with it. So the programs that have been created for this and that are taxpayers' dollar are actually ways to get out and be part of.
Absolutely. I mean, our healthcare system is very good about taking care of the biological aspect of most of our physical health issues. And really what the community needs to do is to step up and support each other on an emotional level, because that social connection is a big part of being well and staying well. And so we create opportunities to do that, to connect with people who have a shared experience and provide them with that emotional support, not just the biological support.
Mm-hmm. Do you see spaces in the community for people to step up to the plate and help those with mental illness?
You know what? I think every individual needs to sort of reflect on how they might help. I read an interesting statistic just this morning, actually, and it says, I'm going to read it out loud. It says, by the time Canadians reach 40 years of age, one in two have or have had a mental illness. So I intellectually knew that, but to see it in writing, for me, that says if half of us are experiencing a diagnosable mental illness, the other half of us are in a position to support that person.
Mm-hmm.
So no one is exempt. And unfortunately, of this 50%, my guess is less than 50% are actually seeking treatment or getting the help that they need.
Mm-hmm. To understand that I guess part of it is that people don't understand maybe that there are all these supports and things put into place, and the other thing is the nature of the disease that they hide.
Well, and sometimes we're not even aware. It's not like an acute pain, a physical pain that we can feel.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of emotional pain. Again, my experience is it tends to come on gradually. And so we think we're fine, and then the days go by, and then one day we realize, oh my goodness, I'm not that fine. It's sort of, you've sort of come down and are not even aware of it. So as an individual, we're not aware of it, and those outside of us are probably in a better position to notice those changes. So it's very important for us to sort of support each other. That's where the mental health first aid comes in, because it teaches us what to watch for and what to listen for, because sometimes if it's us, we're not always aware that our brain is becoming ill.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a quick break, Kim, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what to watch for and what to look for.